So we looked at the first part of that story, looking at the power of friendship and how powerful that can be in God using us to bring people to himself. But I thought it'd be worth looking at the second part as well. And the second part of the story is when the paralyzed man comes face to face with Jesus and what happens in that encounter. So Jesus had been teaching and healing people in that house. The house, as we already know, was absolutely rammed with people. And some of those people there were Pharisees and teachers of the law. So Jesus is there, he's standing, teaching them and talking to them. And all of a sudden, I don't know if you can imagine being part of the crowd, but all of a sudden maybe bits of mud, bits of straw start falling down. And you're looking up in the crowd wondering what's going on. And then a little hole appears and the hole gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And suddenly four faces, you might be able to look up and see the four faces, and the four faces disappear. And then before you know it, there's a mat that's being lowered down from the ceiling. And as it gets a bit lower, you see there's a man lying on the mat, and he gets lower and lower and lower until he is lying on his mat on the floor in front of Jesus. I don't know how you would have felt if you were part of that crowd, but I definitely would have been quite surprised and shocked if I'd been in that room at that time and seen that happen. Jesus, however, seems completely unfazed by it. You know, it doesn't say that he looked up and he was shocked or that he was annoyed because he was distracted and he was trying to teach. It doesn't say any of that. What it says in verse 20 is, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Notice it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." They're talking about the four friends, you know, that friendship that they brought their friend to him. Jesus saw their faith and said to him, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Now, I don't know about you, but if I was the man on the mat at that point, I'd be a little bit gutted. That's a lovely thing to say, isn't it, Jesus, to say to you, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." But he wants to walk. And he's being carried on a mat by his friends. He's never been able to walk. And his friends have told him that they're going to take him to this man, Jesus, and that hopefully he'll be able to heal him. And that this guy might be able to get up and walk out and have the ability to walk, having come face to face with Jesus. He's been carried there. They couldn't get in. But his friends were committed, carried him up the stairs. He's lowered him through the ceiling. He's there. He's on the floor. He's front of Jesus. The spotlight's on him. And Jesus says to him, "Friend." And the guy's like, "Yes." And Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven." It's great, but I'd be disappointed. The guy wanted to walk. But there is method to what Jesus is doing here. I think he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven," for two reasons. And the two reasons are brilliant. The first reason is to show who he is. Jesus said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven," to show the people there that day and to show us today as we read the passage who he is, the fact that he is God. I've already said that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were there, and they believed that God and only God alone had the authority to forgive sins. So what Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven," was absolutely shocking and outrageous. It was a massive claim he was making. He was claiming that he was, in fact, God. And of course, the Pharisees and the other teachers were shocked and they were outraged. As far as they were concerned, Jesus was not God and he was standing there blaspheming. But Jesus knows that they're thinking these things, and that's why he said it. That's why he said it, to show them that he is God and that he does have the authority to forgive people's sins. That's the first reason. The second reason that Jesus says, "Friend, your sins are forgiven," is to show the man that his greatest need is not actually the ability to walk. The man arrived there that day, and he probably did believe that his greatest need at that point was the need to walk. But Jesus is showing him that actually his greatest need is to know Jesus and to have faith in Jesus and to receive forgiveness for sin. I reckon if I'd stood on the door this morning as everybody arrived and asked you what your greatest need is, I probably would have got a variety of answers. I don't know about you, but my greatest need kind of differs daily. You know, what I thought my greatest need was yesterday probably isn't today, and so on. But actually, Jesus is telling us all here that our greatest need as humans is to have faith in him, to know him, and to receive forgiveness of sins. It's not physical healing. It's not money or technology. It's not even human relationships, as lovely as they are. Our greatest need as humans is to receive forgiveness for sin and to know Jesus. Friend, your sins are forgiven. Jesus said this to show that he was God and that he has authority to forgive sins and to show us that our greatest need is him. And the great bit of this story is, of course, he then goes on to heal the man. Jesus backed up his words by an action. His words were enough. He's God. His words were enough. He could have just said, you know what? I am God. I do have authority. And your greatest need is the forgiveness of sins. And that's what I've done. And that's enough. But he didn't. He backed up his words to really show them who he is and what he could do. And he healed the paralyzed man, and he told him to get up and walk. Halfway through verse 24 to the end, it says, so he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. We have a remarkable God. We have a miraculous God. And let's just not forget that the power of friendships and the gift that we have, that the greatest gift we have to share with our friends is to share our faith with them. Let's do that. Let's be determined to do that, remembering that we have God, we have Jesus, and that faith and forgiveness of sins can be found through him.